ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على رسول الله وبعد my brothers and sisters alhamdulillah yesterday one of my dear friends from south africa ismail wariaba sent me a wonderful hadith of Nabi sallam which I want to share with you it is the advice that rasulullah sallam gave to anas bin malik radhiyallahu anhu now anas bin malik radhiyallahu anhu is one of the greatest sahaba of rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam he was the son of his mother was a great lady very well known she was very learned and her name was Umm Sulaim and she was from banu najjar who were the family of rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from his mother's side and she was married to a man called Malik bin Ibn Nadar and Malik bin Nadar when she accepted Islam she had a son and his name was Anas so Anas bin Malik so when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina and he preached Islam Umm Sulaim was one of the earliest of the converts she accepted Islam Her husband Malik bin Nadar was so angry with that he suddenly left home and as he went outside there was some enemy of his who was waiting for him outside and he killed him so he died without Islam then Umm Sulaim married Abu Talha ibn Thabit Abu Talha al-Ansari who was again one of the greatest of the sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam Many stories of Abu Talha al-Ansari radhiyallahu anhu was very he was very wealthy he was also a man who was very pious he is the one whose story is part of things which happened when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayat of the Quran laysa billahi hatta tunfiqu mimma tuhibbun Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said you will not achieve the level of birr piety until you give in the path of Allah that which you love the most and Abu Talha Ansari gave a very valuable date garden that he had in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in charity so anyway those are all stories with regard to him interesting story with regard to Abu Talha Ansari when he married or when he sent his proposal to Umm Sulaim the mother of Anas bin Malik Abu Talha at that time was not a Muslim so when he sent his proposal Umm Sulaim rejected it she did not say why she was rejecting she rejected it. So Abu Talha Ansari said to her is it because of money because he said is it because of yellow things meaning gold he said if you want that I will give you this I have no problem I am a wealthy man I can give you as much as you want she said no it is nothing to do with gold It is because you are not a Muslim, and I cannot marry you if you are not a Muslim. So he had an idol. He was very devoted to an idol which he used to worship. He was very well known for this, that he used to worship this idol to which he was very devoted, and it was a wooden idol. So Umm Sulaim said to him that this thing, this piece of wood which you are worshiping, says this can't do anything to you. If you throw it in the fire, it will burn. Says what sense does it make that you are worshiping something which is like this now obviously alhamdulillah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended hidayat for him he was a good man he accepted that so she said to him I don't want anything from you your Islam is my mahar so if you accept Islam I will marry you and that is my mahar so he married her now Anas bin Malik radhiyallahu anhu as I said he was one of the greatest sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam He says that when he was about 8 years old my mother took me to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by my hand and said ya Rasulullah every man and woman of Medina has presented you with some gift I have nothing else to offer you besides this child of mine so please accept him as your servant for all your needs As Anas bin Malik radhiyallahu anhu says, I served Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 10 years, And during this time, he never beat me, he never abused me, nor did he ever scold me. He never even gave me an angry look in all this time of 10 years. He says, never ever, because he was a servant of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he, obviously he was a young kid, so he would have done things, would have right. He was so beloved to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he was a man who said that, and he lived for a long time, he had a long life. He said that after Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, Anas bin Malik is the only Sahabi who said that he used to see Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his dream every single night. Every night. And this is minallahi ta'ala. So he says that the first advice that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave me was, he said, "O my son, keep my secrets confidential and you will become a true believer." Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu says, "I never disclosed the secrets of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to anyone, despite the requests of my mother and the wives of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam." He also told me, "O my son, be thorough in your wudu, and the two angels who are recording your deeds will love you. Your life span will also be increased." And then he said, "O Anas, ensure that you bathe from Janabat, which is the obligatory bath of Tahara, properly. If you do so, all sins and evil will leave you." And Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu inquired, "How do I do that?" And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wet the roots of the hair and clean and rub the skin." So the faraid of ghusl, to take water into your nose and mouth and to completely wet your entire body down to the roots of the hair. So the whole body must be wet. And then he said, "O my son, if you can, then remain in a state of wudu continuously, for if death comes to someone in the state of wudu, he acquires shahada." So it's very easy to do. Every time you go to the toilet, make wudu, khalas. And you will be in a state of wudu all the time, including at night before you go to sleep, make wudu and then do the azkar of the night and so on. And in another hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you sleep in that state, in a state of wudu, every time you turn in your sleep, Malaika will make dua for your forgiveness. And then he said that when you have slept in a state of wudu, then if you get up in the night for something, any dua you make, Allah will accept. If you remember to make dua at that time, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it, inshallah. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "O my son, if you have the ability to constantly send durood and salam on me, then do that. The angels will beg Allah to forgive you." And this is among the many proofs of the excellence of and the benefit of sending durood and salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is another thing to be done. We must do this at least 100 times a day. Three things: La ilaha illallah, Astaghfirullah, and Durood on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. 100 times each per day, we should definitely do it. And then, of course, the more we do, the better. There's another hadith related with this, where a Sahabi came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, "Ya Rasulullah, I send salat and salam on you," which refers to Durood. "Instead, I send salat and salam on you. I have decided that 25% of my dhikr time I will dedicate to sending salat and salam on you." Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to him, "If you do more, it is better for you." Now, he didn't say better for me, it's better for you. The man said, "Yes, in that case, I will dedicate half the time of my dhikr, my whole day." Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "If you do more, it's better for you." He said, "Then I will dedicate 3/4 of the time that I spend in dhikr to sending salat and salam on you." Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "That is good." So there is a lot of benefit in reciting durood and sending salat and salam on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We must do as much of that as we can. And then he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, "O my son, try to offer some nafil salah in your home also." So pray fard in the masjid, then go and pray sunnah at home, or pray nafil, and of course the best of the nafil is tahajjud. And then he said, "O Anas, when you make ruku, ensure that you spread your fingers apart while grasping your knees, and that you keep your elbows away from your body. These are the harkat of salah, to hold your knee like, not like this, but like this, full, and then keep your elbows like this. Now that doesn't mean if you are in jamaat that you hit somebody with your elbow. Do it to the extent that you can do it. And then he said, "Oh my son, when you raise your head from ruku, allow all your limbs to settle in their original positions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not look on the day of judgment towards the one who does not straighten his back when standing up from ruku." So the other day also I mentioned this, because there was somebody here who was praying like that. Just half, getting up half from ruku and going down into sujood, this is a very, very bad thing. You must completely stand up fully, straighten your back, say Rabbana lakal hamd, not loudly, but softly, Rabbana lakal hamd, and then after that only go into sujood. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Oh my son, when you make sujood, when you make sajda, place your head and hands firmly on the ground. Do not make sajda hastily like the pecking of a rooster. And do not sit in salah like a fox or a dog squats," which is with your elbows also on the ground in when you sit. He said, don't sit like that. Sit in the way that is correctly prescribed. Then he said, refrain from turning about in salah, as this is destruction. Don't turn around here and there and look here and there and all that. He said, do not do that. "Oh my son, if when you leave your house, you make salam to whichever Muslim you see, you will return home forgiven." That spread salam everywhere, wherever you go. In another hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, spread salam to those you know and those you do not know. Yeah, so whether it's Muslims or anybody else, that's to spread salam. Also keep in mind that every other Muslim is better than you. He's teaching him the tarbiyah of humility. Don't be arrogant. Don't think that you are good just because of whatever you are doing. He said, think, imagine and understand that everyone else is better than you. Then he said, "Oh my son, whenever you enter your house, say salam. When you enter the house, say assalamu alaikum to yourself and your family, and this will be a source of barakah for you and them." And then he said, "Oh my son, if you are able to spend your day and night without having malice for anyone in your heart, then do so, as this will make your hisab in the court of Allah easy." There is another famous hadith in this connection where Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu entered the masjid. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sitting there with some people, and as Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas was entering the masjid, he was far away coming in. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and he actually, before he entered, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "A man is going to enter now, and this man is from the people of Jannah." And then Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu entered the masjid. The next day, again, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "A man is going to enter the masjid now, and he is from the people of Jannah." And the same thing happened. Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas entered the house, entered the masjid, Nabi radiallahu anhu. And the third day, the same thing happened. So, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, who was with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on all these 3 days, he decided to go and see what is it that Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas does, radiallahu anhu. So he said to him, he went to Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu and he said, "I would like to be your guest." So he said, "Please, most welcome." So he took him home. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu stayed with Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu for 3 days. And he observed him closely, whatever he was doing, day and night he was with him for 3 days. And at the end of 3 days, he said to him that, "I wanted to be your guest because I wanted to observe what you were doing. Because this is what happened." Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned this and said that you are from the people of Jannah. So I wanted to see, because I want to learn, I want to see what is it that you are doing. Is there some special ibadah or some special wazifa or, you know, some special ritual or what is it you are doing that makes you from the people of Jannah? But he said, "I observed you for 3 days," and he said, "You did not do anything unusual. You know, you did what all of us do, which is waking up for tahajjud and so on, nazkar." He said, you do what all of us do. I did not see anything unusual. So what is it that you do which I did not see? Did I miss something? So Sa'd ibn Waqqas radiallahu anhu said that there is something which I do which you could not have seen, because that is inside me, in my heart. He said, what is that? He said, before I go to sleep, I forgive everyone and I seek forgiveness before I go to sleep. I seek forgiveness from whomever I may have wronged. And when I go to sleep, before I go to sleep, he said, I forgive everyone who has wronged me. So if there's something that he did during the day, he would go and apologize to that person and so on, make sure it is all clear. And before he went to sleep, he said, I forgive everybody. Whoever may have wronged me, I forgive them all. And then I go to sleep. And he said, maybe this is what Rasulullah ﷺ meant. And that's what it was. And this is where same thing Nabi ﷺ is saying to Anas bin Malik. He's saying that if you are able to spend your day and night without having malice, meaning without having jealousy or any evil thoughts about anybody, then do that, because this will make your hisab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala easy. And then he said, O my son, this is my sunnah. Whoever revives and loves my sunnah loves me and will be with me in Jannah. The sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to us today, that is the sign and the symbol and the asar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People get very taken up with, you know, this is from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and it is so holy and so on. They forget that the holiest thing, the closest thing to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was his way. That is his sunnah. Whatever he did, that was the thing which was the closest to him. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him for. People revere all of these Mu'ay Mubarak which comes, you know, the hair of the beard of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First of all, whether it is the beard, hair from the beard of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam itself is a highly doubtful thing. We don't know. There is no actual evidence of that. But even if it is, I have seen a huge number of people who are shaven and they are worshipping the hair of the beard of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If the beard of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so precious and so holy, then what did he tell you? He told you to keep a beard. He didn't say worship my beard. Completely insane. We have become crazy. Yeah? So the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that which is holy. So if we love the sunnah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever revives my sunnah, whoever loves my sunnah, loves me and will be with me in Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to have the sense to understand something so easy as this. There is no jabbar on us, there is no zulm on us. But if we don't want to do that, then it means that we do not want to be with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah. And then the last one, he said, O my son, if you follow my advice, there will be nothing more beloved to you than death. Meaning that as soon as you die, you will go into Jannah. So obviously you will want that. It doesn't mean you want to die. It means that the death is the only thing which is necessary to go into Jannah. So you will wait for that. And all of these, I will send you this, so it has all the references in it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him and to save us from that which is not pleasing to Him. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.